This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dress in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, flat to flat to podium. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should it be checked out? Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS. Jerry Palm coming up in 10 minutes from CBS Sports. He's a bracketologist, and he can write prescriptions, which is important. Later at 1040 East, Rick Harrow on Sports Business. 1103 East, 803 Vegas time. Tom Martin from KCTV5. I used to work there in Kansas City, Missouri. Listen to this. I used to go get lunch for Kevin Harlan.
I remember you telling Tom that the last time we had him on. You were saying the Kevin Harlan stories.
Not only that, I had to get it for Don Fortune, Jack Harry, and Gene Fox, too. It was just, and the rest of the newsroom, the news director. I was like their guinea pig, their intern when I was in Indiana. True story. When Kevin Harlan was a young TV hotshot in Kansas City, now he's a big national hotshot on Turner and CBS, right?
Absolutely. Westwood One, Monday Night Football, the whole day.
I'm a little surprised because I haven't had him. We got to get him on the show one night because I know he's been on with everybody on this network, but he knows me, and he won't. He probably won't admit it. Like a lot of people, there's a lot of that going around where people won't admit that they know me. But they always say the same thing to me. How's Mafia and Carver High doing? But then they say they have no idea who I am. That's interesting when you think about it. Art Rooney, the Steelers president, says it's hard to envision Antonio Brown being with the Steelers when they report to camp in July. That's in Portuguese means he's getting traded.
I guess that does it, right? I mean, that's as clear as day as it can get.
That's it. And then they had a picture of him. Brown put up a picture of him shaking his hand. That'll be the last picture they take together. Another Sean McVay disciple will get a head coaching gig. The Bengals are going to hire Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor, please report to emergency access in Terminal 1. Zach Taylor. Will Zach Taylor please pick up a courtesy phone? Who is Zach Taylor? Honestly, is he friends with Matt LaFleur? Steve Kerr says Boogie will start for the Warriors when he returns next week. Damn straight Boogie time, Mafia. You know he's one of my favorite players, son. Gets it done at the rack. Multiple Grand Slam winner Andy Murray. Cliff Drysdale reporting live for the Pharrell radio program early and often this evening, Pharrell, about the news coming out of London of Andy Murray announcing his retirement from tennis in 2019 due to his continuing lingering hip injuries. He hopes to be able to play, of course, still at Wimbledon this year. Cliff Drysdale checking in. Pharrell, we'll talk to you soon from down under in Melbourne at the Aussie Open this year with Nuraha. There he is, your boy, Carver High, Cliff.
Always love Cliff.
There he is. All that's happening tonight on the bench, believe me, you. I just wanted to tell you that we have a good hockey game tonight, late night, Sharks and Knights, and we have a gambling problem. So if you put it all together, it's looking like we might be able to get some in-game action going here. We're in the state of New York. We're not allowed to bet here, but we're pretty close to being able to smoke reefer. So which one's coming first, Mafia? Reefer or betting?
Betting.
All right. Hurricanes and Lightning are tied in the third. How about the Canes? You're telling me, Carver High, you were telling me how hot they are. Five straight, they're a good team. They're giving the Lightning problems tonight down in Tampa at the Amelie.
Really good team.
What a horrible name for an arena. The Blues are up on the Habs 3-1 early in the third. Wild 3-1 on the Jets early in the third. Panthers and Oilers tied at ones in Edmonton. Coyotes, Canucks getting set to drop it. So are the Kings and Senators at the bottom of the hour. Caps beat the Bruins 4-2. Ovi a pair, 31-32. What a badass. Leafs 4-2 over the Devils. Tavares a pair. Islanders beat the Rangers 4-3. What happened there, Carver High? The late goal from...
Josh Bailey.
Josh Bailey, the winner.
Only shot on goal the Islanders had in the third period.
Doesn't matter. The kid that won the Calder had his 13th. Eberle his 9th. And Anders Lee is 16th, having another big year. Flyers beat the Stars 2-1. The CEO of the Stars was not at the game. He was home getting drunk. I'm just kidding. He had to be drunk when he talked like that about his star players, didn't he? I mean, I'm just guessing. You got to be on a bottle of wine or something.
You would think.
And the Predators lose to the Blue Jackets in overtime, 4-3. I'm watching NBA. The first game I watched tonight a little bit of was terrible, although the Heat were putting a number on the Celtics. 115-99, I beat them in Miami. I love their uniforms with the pink. I really do. I think they're badass. I've always kind of had a little closet thing with the Heat. I like the Heat because I live down there in Miami. I love it. You know I love you, South FLA. What up, kid? I got to tell you, my boy Manny, don't call me Mother Pharrell, and Michael Chang down there at QAM 560, and your boy Zach, Krantz, Jumanji, all those guys down there, I love you. Anyway, Spurs are up 42-33 on the Thunder in the nightcap on TNT. Nuggets 65-54 on the Clippers. I know there's college rack tonight of some significance. I know Michigan a winner by 10 over Illinois on the streets. I think they were laying 9. Cover! Pacific and Gonzaga set to go in Spokane. Craig Elo lives there. I just wanted to say that. This is a great show, isn't it, already? We've done more in the first 15 minutes than most shows do all week in terms of, like, entertainment value. How about this one? I got East Carolina tonight in 15. They're up 4 on Memphis right now at the Pyramid. I think they still play there. I had seen that earlier. Nebraska's up 3 on Penn State in the second half. Oregon's beating UCLA by 11 in Eugene. BYU's up on Portland. Good evening, Portland. 48-39. I'm just looking for any of these games that have any significance at all in the world. Mafia is not interested unless you have significance. Oh, here's a game I bet on. I got burned on. Greensboro got whacked by Wofford. I took Greensboro dangerously. They were 14-3, not anymore. They got whacked. Let's see. Cincinnati beat Tulsa by 5. I had Tulsa in 6. Cover! Louisiana Tech and UAB. I had Louisiana Tech 64-53 winners. And then let's see if there's anything else, Mafia. Washington and Utah are tipping off. So are USC and Oregon State. I think that covers it in terms of heavies. Everything else is lightweights, and we don't do lightweights anymore on the bench. Mafia decided at the beginning of 2019, no more lightweight games.
Only big names.
Only big names. PharrellOnTheBench.com, get the divisional round picks. Simple as that. I got everything on there. Every pick, every sport, every play, every day, all in an email format. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All the picks are ranked. You get it every day. It's cheap. The return is huge. Hide the money from your wife. Don't forget tomorrow, episode 118 of Pharrell on the Bets. Subscribe free. Follow me at On the Bets, WWO. Don't forget, at ILC Podcast. And we're going to Vegas next Thursday and Friday for Pacquiao Broner on Saturday on pay-per-view at the MGM. And then we'll be at the D Casino for 5 shows, January 28th through the 1st at the View Bar on the second floor. And the biggest big game bash of the downtown Las Vegas Event Center is February 3rd. It's all access, all ages. It's the best bash you've ever seen in your life. See us in Vegas. Call the team. Get a room. 855-212-4227. Jerry Palm next on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Real quick, Carver High, tell me about the guy that checked in with the parlay, the three-legger. What did he do?
Yeah, that's our boy Spencer. He had a three-legger with Delaware, Hofstra, and Florida Atlantic on the money line.
And what did he say to you? He goes, tell Pharrell.
He said, tell Pharrell, good luck on Florida Atlantic money line.
and the Hofstra game was three overtimes.
Oh, really?
Three overtimes.
How
on the
that?
Road.
You sweated that one
and,
out.
But on the road, and they went in by three. But you know, let me just be clear. You know, this is why I do Pharrell on the Bench and Pharrell, you know, PharrellOnTheBench.com and Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One, because you know that my friends are sick in the head when they bet on Hofstra and Florida Atlantic in college basketball on a, like, Thursday night. You know you got a problem when you're betting on those teams. And Delaware, for Christ's sakes, the Blue Hens. Right, Jerry Palm?
Yeah, it's not quite like betting on preseason baseball, but yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. So let me first of all, I want to establish something with you. So in the next, let's say, couple of months, I'm going to have you on every couple of weeks so that we can get closer and closer to the tournament with your genius, because you're the bracketologist of all bracketologists. In fact, I've heard that you've beaten up Joe Lenardi in a like at a bar in the parking lot by your car, and that took like 30 seconds with a couple of straight rights. So all I know is I've always taken Jerry Palm's word over everyone else's. So every couple of weeks we'll get you on to see where we're at going in. All right.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's funny because I get asked that a lot. Who would win a fight?
Right.
Between me and John, I'm like 7 inches taller than him.
Right. How tall are you, Jerry?
6'1".
I'm 6'1".
So Joe's about 5'7", maybe.
All right, so Mafia's 6'5", 240. I'm 6'3", 215. And your boy, yeah. Carver High, drinks more beer than anyone in Long Island. And Carver High just held up a sign that all three of us can beat your ass.
Yeah, I have no doubt that that's true.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Why, and I know I'm there's things you're going to make fun of me about, but why is Seton Hall left out and you have like that? Because I know San Francisco you have as your last run. San Francisco's a good team, but they play no one ever, not even themselves in practice, is better than Seton Hall's schedule. And then Northwestern's not better than them, and neither is Arkansas. Honestly, I'll give you Maryland, but I'm not going to give you those other three.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly why. That was 3 weeks ago. I haven't done a bracket since the middle of December.
Oh, all right.
Well, I'm working on one tonight.
But is that really 3 weeks ago? Because what is Seton Hall now after?
December, it was the week before Christmas.
Okay, because, oh, all right. That's terrible then, because they've had some nice wins since then. Would you?
Seton Hall will definitely be in the bracket I do tomorrow. No question. I haven't gotten to them yet.
Right.
There's no question in my mind that Seton Hall will be in.
Do you think Seton Hall is better than Washington, Creighton, and Temple?
Washington and Creighton, yes. Probably Temple, too. Nice win for Temple last night, though.
Right.
That beat knockoff Houston, their first loss. But, yeah, I would say that they're probably better than those teams, at least right now. And, gosh, I mean, Washington is – I picked them to win the Pac-12 for what that's worth. That league miserable.
It's pathetic. Let me ask you this. So I have said on this show that I think the best team to bet on in terms of who do I think is the most dangerous team in college basketball in the tournament for me right now, and you'll think I'm crazy, but it's Texas Tech because of their – they're very experienced, and they're deep, and they're talented. And I thought they blew the game against Duke at the Garden. I thought they could have won that game.
Yeah, they could have. I mean, they were right there in that game. The thing about Texas Tech is that's a really good, aggressive defensive team. They're hard to play against. It's just hard to get your offense going against them. And when you play defense, the way that they play defense, you always have a shot. And then they can score, too. I mean, it's a really good, really well-coached team. And a team that, you know, a lot of people thought, well, you know, they lost a lot off of last year's team, which went to the Elite Eight before losing to Villanova. And you think, well, they'll probably take a step back this year. No, they're right there. They can win the Big 12, especially now that Kansas doesn't have their big man.
So, do you have, the way Purdue's playing, I saw them last night in the Breslin. I didn't think they looked good. Do you still think no. they'll be a tournament team?
They're going to have to get better. They're going to have to find them. Well, first of all, Carson Edwards kind of stunk at Michigan State, but mostly Purdue's offense is Carson Edwards, and you hope somebody else can score. And against better teams, they haven't been able to do that. So they've played a really good schedule, and the rankings love them, but they don't look to me quite like a tournament team yet. And the Big Ten is unforgiving. This is, you're a Big Ten guy. I'm a Big Ten guy.
Right.
I've never seen the league this deep with teams that can beat you if you don't show up ready to play.
How high a seed do you think Indiana can be with this young team that he's got? Archie's got some talent on there. Romeo Void. I mean, they got some serious – I mean, they're not – I don't think they're that good. I saw them play Michigan, and I thought they got whacked. But they had been hot before that.
Well, the Big Ten is Michigan and Michigan State, and then a gap, a little bit of a gap. And then 3 through, say, 10 are all about the same and could beat anybody on any given night. Indiana's – I would say at the higher edge of that group right now, top 25, 15 to 25 type of seed. So what is that, 4, 5, 6, something like that. Langford's terrific. Romeo Langford's a great talent. But I think that IU is going to be – they're going to go as far as their senior, Juwan Morgan, ends up taking them. They're going to have to ride him and his experience. When they get to the tournament, he's going to have to be able to lead these young guys in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a hell of a player, and I've seen him have a 35-point game this year. He's looked really good a couple of times.
I was at the Butler game, and he owned that game.
That was it. That was the game. Kansas without Azubuike, what does that do to them?
Well, they haven't been very good with him without him yet. I think they're 4-2 now without him. So, I trust Self to adjust and – probably still win the league, but it might take him a little bit of time to do that. And, it's a pretty good league, so he hasn't got a lot of time. But they got a win over TCU last night. So Kansas will still – they've got great players, but they'll be different because, I think he started 4 guards last night. They're going to have to play some small ball, which is, not what they were built to do necessarily this year. I mean, you've got guys who can do it, but now you have to – almost learn a new style of play in the middle of your season.
What do you think of Buffalo and St. John's?
I like Buffalo. And, that's a team that, did a little damage in the tournament last year. Most of that team back. So, when they get to the tournament, they're probably going to be underseeded because that's how things work. And they'll be dangerous again. And St. John's, I really didn't think much of them until they blew Marquette's doors off. That was pretty impressive. They were undefeated for quite a while, and it felt pretty soft. The schedule was pretty soft, but that was a very impressive win. And Big East is kind of up for grabs this year because Villanova isn't going to dominate the way they have the last few years. They'll still be good. They'll still be in contention. They may win it, but they're not going to run away with it the way they have the last couple of years. I think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch.
So the last question I got for you of the what I think would be twos now is like Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga, that Michigan State team you talk about, et cetera. Of those teams, who do you think is the most dangerous team? Is it
Tennessee?
You really think that?
Yeah, man, they look good. I don't know that I'd have them at the two. Maybe I guess I'm trying to say. Well, Virginia, Michigan, Duke are one. Tennessee might be the fourth one. Gonzaga. The problem for Gonzaga is, they get Tilly back, and now they're going to play a bunch of West Coast teams, and only maybe one of which can challenge them, which might be San Francisco. And, play them at home and give them a game for, 30 minutes before Gonzaga runs away with it. It's going to be hard. I wish they had had him so that we could see what the full Gonzaga team could do against higher-level competition, but what are you going to do? Injuries are injuries, and Gonzaga is going to be pretty dangerous too.
Right. When they beat Duke, everybody thought that they were on their way and that they were the team to beat. And I don't, frankly, think that's the case, to be honest with you, anymore. We'll see how the season pans out. Jerry, we'll be in touch. We'll catch up and we'll keep doing this as we get closer and closer. Always good to have you on the bench, brother. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
All right. Jerry Palm, despite the fact that he's a Purdue fan, I like him. But I do think that all of us could beat his ass. I just wanted to elaborate on that again really quickly.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Rick Haro is in our nation's capital. He's our sports business and legal insider on the bench. So I watched this, Rick, the show on Amazon Prime called Goliath. It's with Billy Bob Thornton. Is that his name? He plays a he plays a lawyer, a trial lawyer, a criminal lawyer, like a defense murder lawyer. And all of the stories are about him against, you know, big, huge titan corporations and against murderers and things of this nature. And it's funny because I was thinking of you. Did you ever think when you went to Harvard that you would be at any point a, you know, a trial lawyer with criminals?
Hey, I'm having too much fun watching sports with criminals. You know, it's just like the, you know, you have to choose in life, right, one way or another. And so if I were a trial lawyer, I wouldn't have the week I've had. I started in Chicago. I watched maybe one of the best NFL games in history. And then the bookend is I'm going to go to New England and watch them against the Chargers. That's going to be a good one. So, you know, this whole week has been kind of cool. And, yeah, all my kind of friends who are not corporate lawyers are doing that kind of stuff, but I'm having more fun.
All right, so wait a minute. Let me elaborate on what you said. So you just said to me you saw one of the greatest games in NFL history. You mean that Bears-Eagle game?
You know why? Because of the change of emotions and because of the way the game ended and because of the double doink. How about that? I mean, you know, and I was in Chicago, so I was there on Monday, and I saw the impact of it. They were talking about Super Bowl tickets and sudden death. So, all right, maybe I'm overreacting, but it's in the top 10.
All right, so people on this show have been screaming and yelling at me about and you know, constantly calling here, bringing up the ratings, and so the television ratings in sports. So I'm going to let you explain it to them. The downfall of the NFL, people said, was happening, but you're saying from a rating standpoint, they had huge numbers, and then the numbers for the NCAA championship game, which many callers have told me that there would not be any ratings, no one would watch the game and everything else. I guess they were all right because no one watched the game?
Yeah, but first of all, nobody knows what the ratings are until we get a good measurement, right, on who's watching devices and who's watching televisions, because the more people that are watching on their tablets, it's the right demographic. It's the young people. It's the people that people want to have watching. So I don't believe the numbers anyway. That said, NFL numbers up, 16 million viewers on average a game. They picked up about 800,000 people who they claim weren't watching last year. So why is it? Is it the lack of protests? Is it the better games? Who knows? And the college game, obviously people got tired of Clemson, Alabama. Personally, I thought it was a domination by a really, really well-coached team, and I watched the whole thing. So I don't know what the story is. If people are going to say now, let's get an 8-team playoff because we know we're going to get better games, it's ridiculous to decide the structure of a playoff based on one year's performance. So it's a lot of controversy, but a lot to do about nothing.
Well, I just think that if you make a decision about having an 8-game, you know, an 8-team playoff based on television ratings, then you're frankly an idiot. I just honestly, because it shouldn't be about television ratings. That's not their problem. The NCAA, the football schools, these teams that are in it, that's not their business. Their business is winning football games and making money. And obviously, TV is a huge factor in all of that. But I think that the more important factor is there'd be more good football games and a better tournament.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It gives a little more relevance to all the bowl games. So you got to think about how to do it. But I also think that the executive director Hancock's statement at the beginning of the week before the game saying we got 12 years on the contract, so we're not doing anything. Contracts are made to be renegotiated and are made to be broken if the economics change. So we're not going to a 6- or 8-team playoff overnight, but it's not going to take 12 years either.
What happened with the 33 Tribune stations and Charter Spectrum Cable? There was a huge fight, and then what did that mean? Millions of people didn't get to watch the NFL playoff games?
Yeah, and it's coming up again. So all of these cable negotiations, as you know, are resolved at the head of a gun based on leverage. And the best time for leverage is NFL playoff time because that's when it really matters to consumers. They don't get the games. And so it's a big game of chicken. And so the Fox matchups, the Cowboys, Rams, and the, you know, Eagles, Saints, obviously, the Chargers, Patriots, all of those are in jeopardy in certain spots in the country where they can't come to a deal. Now, we've got some time. We've got a couple of days, so hopefully it gets resolved. But, you know, listen, I'm sitting in Washington, and the government's not open, so you were hoping that's resolved, too, and it hasn't been.
That, frankly, is embarrassing, to be honest. I don't even want to talk about it.
That's
how it's ridiculous. It's pathetic what's going on in D.C. Over there on Pennsylvania Avenue. I got to tell you, the Aussie Open starts next week. You're telling me they're giving players 10-minute breaks now because of the heat?
Yeah, well, they you know, had some heat stroke issues last year, where it was the hottest Australian Open on record. They got a new rule that says basically there's a heat stress index, and it's a mathematical formula. If it goes above a certain number, you get a 10-minute break. A certain number above that, the referee can suspend the matches. And so it's a real concern at the Australian because it's hot down there, and players are just coming off the Christmas holidays and are not in as good shape as they are in the middle of the year as well, and could be dangerous.
I went to the All-Star game in San Jose in 97 in hockey, and they're having it there again this year. I thought they did a great job with it. It was a lot of fun, and it was back when that building was, you know, new and pretty hot. I think it's a great place for it.
It's an amazing place for it. 11 years later, they're bringing it back, and the Sharks do things first class. SAP, you know, NBC, the Winter Classic went really well at Notre Dame. And so NHL's looking up, man. I'm telling you, $650 million for a franchise in Seattle, which increases the value of everybody. So they're going to be celebrating that in just 2 weeks in San Jose.
They're going to have an All-Star game in Seattle as well. They've guaranteed them within 7 years.
Yeah, they get the arena done. And look, Seattle is a great hockey town. Remember, from the Western Hockey League, it also was a great basketball town. It's a great corporate town. And so now the next step is how quick will the NBA come back? And it's not tomorrow, but it'll happen.
IMG College and Learfield cut a huge deal, a merger. What's going on there?
$2 billion rights influencing way beyond their coverage. And when you think about it, both of those conglomerates, you know, they're big-time monopoly. So the deal is a 50-50 deal. IMG College owns about 55 of the 65 deals in the Power Five Conference, says in more than 200 schools in all. So all of these programs are requiring kind of outsiders to help sell their advertising, and now you got one big company doing it all.
So it was a big year for the MLS. Tell me about that. And the Cubs have started their own regional sports network and split away from the Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox?
Yeah, well, on that one first, they thought about what to do with the big deal that you know, that NBC had, and now they're trying to break away on their own. WGN no longer has broadcast rights to games and others as well. And so the network reportedly is going to be called Marquee. The Ricketts family use their own TV network as an opportunity to grow big revenues. The Cubs, as we know, have always been a regional team, and now they're a national team. As for the MLS, 77.5% increase in revenues, $330 million net worth for Atlanta. How about that? Coming into the league just a couple of years ago, wins the championship, 70,000 attendance. Arthur Blank did it right, built a new stadium, Super Bowl there in 3 weeks.
So tell me, in tech, the Black Mirror, what is that Bandersnatch movie all about?
Yeah, well, you know, what they're talking about is something that is an experimental new film, and it's Netflix's first piece of interactive television. So you have an opportunity to have these watch parties and the future of entertainment's about selecting options on certain screens and watching them. So the business of sports may follow this interactivity, especially with the gambling and fantasy on the table as well. This leads the way.
Real quick, the PGA Tour, they're going to do on-course player interviews during rounds. Are they serious? Are these guys going to cooperate with them?
Well, they're supposed to. The idea was an experimental stage at the Century Tournament of Champions. Further depends upon the willingness of players. Obviously, Brooks Koepka, for example, shot down the idea in Shanghai, but he said that he might permit it now, and other players might be able to do it as well. Trying to bring fans closer to the game, with a lot of the players, you may not want them closer to the game. It all depends on the individual, and it's certainly going to be tested.
30 seconds, the power of sports. The Brewers, Yelich, Ryan Braun, and Moustakas are doing this charity softball game to benefit all the tragedies that have happened recently in California.
Yeah, big deal. California Strong Celebrity Softball Game. It's at Pepperdine. They're going to have a whole bunch of guys across all bunch of sports. And the teammates live in the area impacted by the fires. They've been active in trying to rally support. You got a lot of other players like Reggie Miller, Baker Mayfield, Rob Riggle, some other guys, Schwarzenegger. And the bottom line is when you get guys together to try to do this kind of stuff, it's really raising money. It's good for sports.
All right, Rick, safe travels in D.C. Thanks for coming on the bench.
See you next week.
All right, Rick Harrow, everyone, tonight in our nation's capital where the government has been shut down for several weeks now. It's embarrassing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.